See you at the show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfabilly Freakout at 6 p.m., Alter Ego in the evening at 7, Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10. Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht here with my co-host, LaDonna Wilson. How are you doing, LaDonna?
I'm doing well.
Great to have you in the studio. We're trying this out for the first time.
This is exciting. Two people talking about theater.
It is. And with two guests, we have four people talking about theater. We're really excited today to be joined by two people who are very prominent in community theater in Champaign and in Danville, John Tilford from Twin City Theater Company, and Paul Strain from the DLO Danville Musical Theater.
Close enough.
Danville Light Opera?
DLO Musical Theater.
Okay, I had it. One of the exciting things about our show, even though we're called See You at the Show, is that I think it is important for us, the more that I see that people from Champaign are getting involved in shows in other communities and looking for opportunities in other communities. And I have a good friend who's performing at a show in Monticello coming up next week. And a lot of people from Decatur theater groups are asking me to start promoting some of their auditions on the show. So I think it's great to have Paul in here today so I can learn more about Danville theater opportunities. I didn't even know that DLO existed, I think, until I saw something in the last week or two on Facebook, and I recognized the name Strain from your son, Jerry, and having seen him do his beautiful Beast recently in Beauty and the Beast, and I put it together and contacted you, and now I know there's this whole thriving operation that's been around since like 1958 or something.
1956.
Need the mic a little. So, all right. Well, we're going to be talking with John about Twin City Theater, their season, how they got started. They're a new startup theater group, and then we have this amazing group that's been around for 60 some years out of Danville. A couple notes: we don't have any shows going on right now, which is killing me. I'm dried up from theater. I need shows. But we do have a couple shows just going into rehearsals now. We have the Farinelli and the King cast and Elephant's Graveyard already in rehearsals, and they're both opening up on October 3rd. Farinelli and the King will be at the station, and Elephant's Graveyard, the cast list just came out for that, and that's going to be at Parkland Theater. So Latrell Bright is directing Elephant's Graveyard. I was really excited to see this cast, because this is actually a show. Do you know anything about it, LaDonna?
I do know a little bit, and I love the diversity of the cast as well. I think that's going to be really exciting.
It is, and it's a show. Like, as soon as I saw that it was coming to Parkland, and I saw that Latrell was going to be doing it, I ordered the script on Amazon, and I read it in one night. And well, just I'm a animal guy, and so I wanted to be injured by the play, and I was. I mean, that's when we do theater, right? We want to either laugh or cry or something.
Be moved by it.
We want to
sure,
be moved, yeah. And I was moved. And so it would have been a challenge to be in it, to see, because I think I haven't ever really been in a show where I was troubled by the content of the show or the content of my character. Have any of you had that experience?
Years ago, I did play at the station called Tracers about Vietnam, and I was about 30 years old playing a kid who was just drafted into the war, and it left me emotional. It drained me every night. It really affected me quite a bit. So yes, that's my personal story on that one.
And so would you, does that make that a great experience?
It was a wonderful experience. I did a lot of research on Vietnam and the impact it had. The director had us go through drills. We had to run through downtown Urbana in fatigues in the middle of the summer. He put us through calisthenics. He did the whole nine yards, and it was very emotional and very. It left me with a new perspective. It really did, and it's also the summer that my daughter was born. So I have a lot of memories about that time period.
Oh wow! And your wife let you do a show?
She was 9 months pregnant.
Uh-huh.
My daughter, in utero, had experienced the show, but she turned out normal.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great.
Yeah, my wife has been very gracious about my spending time away.
Yeah. Well, my son was born when I was in my second year of law school, and I guess maybe that's like going through a traumatic acting experience in some ways, because I felt like it was imposter syndrome all the way with me pretending like I knew what I was doing there. But I've been doing it for my career for 15 years now, so I guess I've got it down. Well, anyway, so the elephants, there was the strongman role. I don't know who Juan Suarez is, but so he's got the one kind of like sympathetic role in the show. And ringmaster is Parker Evans. And I had Linda Evans in here, the Evans family. Everybody in here is nodding their head.
Right.
The Evans family is
boys are outstanding.
Yeah, I saw Dima walking into Central today. And so it's a great family. And I'm excited to see what Parker's going to do in a... at least in community theater, I don't think he's had any lead roles now. He's always been very noteworthy as kind of a supporting cast member. And so this seems perfect for him just in title. And I'm excited about that. Lincoln Macula's in it. He's in everything. I'm happy to see Aaron Clark back on the stage. I haven't seen him in a couple of years. Crystal Moya is fantastic in everything she does. Natalie Deptula, I'm a fan of hers from her work at STM. I've seen her, and she's been starting to do some community theater too. So it's, oh, and Kimmy Schofield. I haven't seen her since I saw her at your theater.
Right.
What was the name of the show? I'm drawing a blank on it.
She did On the Exhale, the one woman show.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
I did not see it, but I saw her in, she was an American Idiot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I saw her in that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great.
Well, I thought that your theater in particular, like, so you're at the we're jumping around, we're getting right into this, I guess, but at the Soto Theater, it's an interesting venue. It's not and so I thought it was perfect for a one woman show. It was
right,
perfect for something
right.
that intimate.
Right. And I think that we're gearing more toward smaller, more intimate shows in our next upcoming season because it works well, and we're even playing with doing something different with the space. So.
So what's the biggest, I don't know, what's the biggest audience you've ever put together in that space or tried to seat?
Probably about 70.
Okay.
I seated 70 for Lost in Yonkers, I think. And then the teen show, Emma, drew huge crowds too.
Did you, have you brought in risers ever, or has it always just been on one level?
No, we haven't done that.
They do a lot of improv in that space too. Like
right,
the sidelines aren't too bad.
We do share the space,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Is the stage is elevated
the
maybe
stage
2 feet
elevated
or so?
About,
slightly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, a Twin City Theater Company, I believe, did its first show in like 2015. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so, were you part of the founding of the show?
I am.
Or
I'm
of the theater?
Father, yes, I am.
Okay. And so, who was involved in that at the beginning? It was Garth?
Mike Galloway, Garth Gersten, Angela Markham, and I were on the founding members.
Okay. So, what was the motivation for it? We've got Station, we've got CUTC, we've got Parkland, and of course the U of I. So,
right.
So why?
Garth's initial concept was to pay his actors and do it as a profit theater. Well, Garth moved, and the board sat and said, we can't do this. We need to go nonprofit. And bless Garth for his vision and his ingenuity and his brains, but you know, this baby had to evolve.
Yeah. So was there an actual effort? Did it go through a cycle of paying for Actually paying people?
Yes, initially, yes.
Huh. I wasn't aware of that arc. And so where are things now then? How many shows a year are you trying to
We're
do?
We're looking at probably 4 or 5 shows for next season.
Okay. And what is, I know we've got, I was talking to you before the show, Follow the House of Usher is something that you auditioned for about 2 weeks ago. And I'm, one of the things I'm trying to do with my See You at the Show Facebook page and web presence is be where you go for news on like casting and auditions and stuff. And I want to know who the cast of Fall of the House of
Usher
is. Can
you imagine the people auditioning, how much they want to know?
Exactly.
That's true.
So, my students refresh every like 20 minutes until I post the cast list.
So Kevin Wickard is the director. Why is he not giving us a cast?
Well, you and I talked before we aired, and he had, and any director, I think, has a vision of what he would like to see in a cast. And Kevin had some things that he wanted to see. There are some things that are necessary in the script. The two leads have to be very fluid, and it a lot of experimental and movement is happening in the play. And he wanted to get dance-type people to do this. So they would take direction well, and they'd know how to move their bodies and express themselves. Well, his initial contacts moved out of town. So Kevin is now working on getting new contacts and getting people to fulfill those roles.
Well, he still has time. I mean, it's not till October, right? So
right.
It's the nice part about it is it's not...
I think that
away.
Kevin and I and the board frequently contact one another saying, have you heard anything? Because we, you know, and I told him in a message today saying, I'm going on the air at 5:30. Any
yeah,
word?
This, right. I would love
a little pressure.
So, Kevin, I haven't heard anything. So
you can call in.
Well.
I trust Kevin implicitly. I've worked with Kevin in several shows. He and I did Waiting for Godot with the cast of, there were 5 of us, and Kevin is a very hard worker. And from day one, when he was talking about doing this last year, and something happened, but he's got plans. He had a notebook full of ideas and costumes and set work and character work. So Kevin is really organized about this and very excited about it.
So the first show that's going up. So No Exit is before.
Right.
That then.
Right.
I'm excited about No Exit. I saw that the cast came out for that. But when I was researching to talk about the show last week, I think it was, and that's going to be directed by Aaron Polk.
Aaron Polk is wonderful. I've worked with Aaron since he was in high school, and he's committed to theater. He loves it. It's a joy to work with.
So when I was reading about the plot, I just kept thinking, there's something familiar. I've never seen the show, but this sounds really cool. And then it clicked, The Good Place. And so,
exactly.
And so I went to Wikipedia and I was looking at The Good Place, and then there it says, you know, inspired by No Exit. And so it's going to be a useful way to market the show, I think, to capitalize on the popularity.
It's not as funny as The Good Place, but I think a lot of the themes and a lot of the there is a strong similarity.
Right. Well, I mean, Hell's not supposed to be that funny. That kind of takes a little bit of the sting away. All right. So, and when does that going to open?
That opens September 27th, and it runs the 27th, the 28th, October 4th, 5th, 6th, all at 7:30, and then September 29th at 2 p.m.
So are auditions already underway? I mean, not auditions, are rehearsals already happening?
He is into his 3rd or 4th rehearsal, and he posts pictures every day after rehearsal. He'll say, rehearsal number 3, and he says it's going very well.
So just in your little internal email, or are you posting stuff on your Facebook page?
He might post it on his own, but I think I'm going to have him just go ahead and post it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, well, I don't know who manages your Facebook page, but it's been interesting to watch over the past maybe it's been going on longer than the past few months, but it seems as though there's kind of like an effort to have sort of like a daily engagement.
You
like
know who does that?
Who does that?
I do that.
Hey, congratulations, that. John. Yep. I mean, that's something it's given me, you know, some ideas about the way that I can use my own or the CEO at the Show Facebook page as well. But I really like how you do it. Just asking, like, what's an example? Did you do something today?
Oh, today was, what's today, Thursday? It was, I always look to see what day it is today in history, or, you know, there's a page that says what day is it, and it might be Chocolate Ice Cream Day or National Dog Day. So National Dog Day, I posted, hey, it's National Dog Day. What's your favorite play or musical that features a dog? I've gotten a lot of responses.
Yeah. Pretty much no musical that includes a dog would be a musical that should be done. No, just kidding. Animals are very hard to work with on stage.
Yes,
which they're
going
to find out about with Toto here shortly.
This is a great transition to get Paul up to the mic a little bit, because you are looking for a dog right now, aren't you?
That's right. Toto tryouts are next week. So if anyone has a candidate to bring on over to Danville and try out for the spot of Toto in The Wizard of Oz, we'd be more than happy to see them.
I remember when they did the Toto auditions for The Wizard of Oz here in town, and I think there were nine dogs. I would have loved to have seen video. Now, that's where we should have had some good multimedia. Yeah. I would love to have seen some of the video from tryouts for Toto. But it ended up, I think, not being, I have to say, in my review of Wizard of Oz, I didn't point out that I was a little disappointed in Toto. Toto did not respond to commands as well as it had been advertised. But anyway, that was a so let's talk a little bit about DLO, because I don't know anything about it other than apparently it's been around since 1956. And how did you first get involved with it, Paul?
Oh, man. As many people do, through my kids. When as soon as the kids were of age, you know, which for DLO for kids shows is about third grade.
Yeah.
We got them involved. And actually, we did our first show together, which was Oliver. So I was in the, the adult ensemble, and they were orphans. And it kind of all sprung from there, and me having a little bit of technical ability with lights and sound from doing theater years and years before.
They sucked you right in, right?
At the Beef
House. They needed you.
Yeah, as soon as they found out, oh, you know something about sound?
Yep.
Here, run the next show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And now you're president.
And now I'm president, yeah. So that's kind of the way it works.
Yeah, well, I noticed when I was looking through the cast list for Wizard, I saw a lot of people with the last name of Strain.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to get everybody on stage together. So at DLO, we try to do a, you know, quote-unquote big-budget family-friendly musical in the fall. And if there's an opportunity for everybody to get up on stage, we try to do that. It's a lot of fun.
And congratulations. You were recently married, so the DLO family's even more tight-knit, right?
Lisa was already involved, you know, before that, but absolutely.
Well, do you have a regular performance space, or does it move around depending on the show?
We're somewhat nomadic. We are regularly doing our big shows at the high school at the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium, which seats about 1,800 people, so is perhaps a little too big for some of our shows. So we split time kind of between the Bremer Theater at DAC. We have used the Harrison Park Clubhouse. And here this summer, we used a space in the Village Mall in one of the empty storefronts for our youth shows and our teen shows. And also we used that for Next to Normal last year. And
I love that show so much.
A lot of us on the board really liked it and thought it worked out really well, mm-hmm. and we hope to use that space some in the future.
So this sounds like there's what is the number of shows that you do every year, or you target each year?
We do five. We do three main stage shows, one of which is usually dinner theater in the February timeframe, and then we do a youth show for kids third grade and however old the director decides they want, and then a teen show that's something a little more serious for the teens.
Okay, and so it's called musical theater. Does that mean you literally stick to that, or do you also do straight plays?
No, we just do musical theater. There is another wonderful organization in Danville, the Red Mass Players, that is one of the longest running downstate theaters in Illinois. And they do four or five straight plays a year at the Catherine Randolph Theater.
And do they do musicals also or not?
They do not.
Oh, well, that's kind of an interesting division of talent and labor and shows.
Yeah, I think it just kind of happened. I don't think it was a conscious thing, other than I assume they already existed when DLO started, so DLO decided just to concentrate on musicals.
And are most of the shows that you... Okay, is The Wizard of Oz, is it kids and adults?
Yes, yeah. We have kids as munchkins and other appropriate roles, and adults in the adult roles.
Right, and then your son Jerry is the lion.
Jerry is the lion, yes. Yep. And he's thrilled to be in that. People will know Craig Smith from around here.
Yes.
Craig is our tin man.
Okay.
Lisa Richter, now Lisa Strain, who teaches at Edison, is the Wicked Witch of the West. So
Lisa, I know. I've worked with Lisa.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah, at Parkland.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
So we will never see the name Lisa Richter in another playbill.
That's right.
All right. Well, congratulations again, as LaDonna mentioned. That's great. So I saw Jerry in Beauty and the Beast with Emmy Daniels, and he was actually a guest on one of my early guests on the show.
Yeah, as he failed to mention to me, and I only listened to it after you told me about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he was, and, you know, that was just one of the really exciting moments of the show, was both to watch them together, but then to see how that carried over, and they had a chemistry even during interviews together of just, it was just so, not like romantic chemistry, but they just loved performing together so much.
Yeah.
And to make that show work, of course, you have to have those two characters work it that way. But I was really, I was inspired by the two of them, and I felt very lucky to have them on the show. Emmy was actually in the very first show that I was ever in back in 2011, and so I've been following her career for a long time, and she's off performing in college now. So she's a great success story of our community.
I think it's so interesting that so many of the kids, so many of our adults are finding theater in all these different places, right?
Yeah.
So I think that there are so many, sometimes it feels like we're too inundated with theaters,
right.
Yet we have plenty of actors to make it happen.
And I think you're right. And I think that we each do different things.
Right. And actors then can find the things they're looking for.
Right.
You know, if they want a musical or, you know, I know, like you said, Craig does all these different kinds of shows all over the place. And he's always looking for the right show that's for him.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so you don't just have to stick with a season of one company. You really can pick and choose the kind of shows that you want to do. And if you're ready for, like you were saying earlier, some kind of deeper, more, you know, something to dig your teeth into, you can do that. Or then you can do The Wizard of Oz, the Wicked Witch, okay, she's deep. But other than that, like they're a little more lighthearted,
right,
in that
yeah.
show. So,
yeah. And just to round out the picture, we also have the Dark Horse Theater Company in Danville, which does a little more edgier. They're getting ready to do the zombie musical.
Zombie Prom?
No.
Evil Dead?
Evil Dead, yeah.
Oh, Evil Dead the musical. I think I saw that advertised.
And we have a relatively new theater company called TTCD, the Teen Theater Company of Danville, completely run, managed, and organized by teens.
Wow.
And they've been in existence for about 2 years.
Which says a lot about your community and how well
they're
you know, training these kids.
Yeah, is Jerry involved in that?
Yeah. Yeah, DLO kind of helped foster them, I guess you would say, in helping them get started. And, you know, I'm an advisor for them. We helped them do High School Musical a couple years ago as a summer musical. We mentored them, but they did all the directing, all the music directing, you know,
that's impressive.
For that show.
Well, that's really, and I really like you in here advocating for the other theaters or talking about them that way. One of the inspirations for me starting this show was my perception anyway of the theater community in Champaign-Urbana as being kind of a fiefdom-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there wasn't a whole lot there definitely wasn't coordination, but there was obviously acting talent wanted to cross over. And there were directors who seemed to be maybe staying in one place or another. And I just felt like there should be something that's centralized and as a hub for people who wanted to be involved, wanted information, and maybe we could have kind of end up with maybe more of a collaborative sort of community theater-wise. And that sounds like that's kind of how it is in Danville.
And I think that you said directors sticking to one particular place. I've noticed more and more lately that directors like Matthew Green has directed several places, and we're seeing more and more people.
Luttrell,
yep. Right. Doing other theaters.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say this, that this community the theater community really has to thank you, Eric, for what you do and getting people and getting the word out and supporting what we do. We do really appreciate that.
Well, I haven't cried on the show yet, John, but thank you. It truly is a something that I love, and it's given me an opportunity to meet more people like you and to immerse myself even further in the show. So much so that I need to bring LaDonna in, because then now there's so much I think more that we can cover as a team, but I'm glad to know that it's making an impression and maybe making a difference. Yeah. Well, thank you. And I like the idea of broadening out now, maybe making inroads into other communities, so that that we can be a source of information more broadly, to maybe Decatur, to Monticello, to Danville, because there are a lot of people who want to perform. There are a lot of people who want to see shows. I'm desperate to see a show. It's been a while.
And if you don't know about it, you don't know to go see it. Right, so I think that's the other thing. We don't always advertise in all the different communities in the way that we could. So yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and we'll drive over to Champaign at the drop of a hat to see a show if there's something we want to see. And we hope that there are people in Champaign that would feel the same way about hopping over to Danville to see a show.
Oh, right. And I think that if even somebody like me, who maybe not my whole life, but over the past several years, and especially the last couple of years very intensively, have been involved in the Champaign-Urbana theater scene, and I didn't even know you existed, and I feel horrible about that, but then I imagine that there must be hundreds of other people like me who wish that they did know more, maybe wish that they did have something come across their social media feed about the show that's going on. And real quick, what is your season that you've announced so far? I saw some pretty fun shows.
Obviously, this fall is The Wizard of Oz in October. Excuse me. Our February dinner show is Bright Star. That's directed by Jody Prosser-Mueller.
Is that going to have an orchestra on stage? Are you going to do like that traditional, will your actors play?
That would be a question for Miss Jody.
Okay.
I'm not sure. And our spring show is Mamma Mia.
Okay.
Nice. So, tentatively, Bright Star is at the Bremer Theater DAC, and Mamma Mia is back at the high school. And The Wizard of Oz is at the high school.
Okay.
And our show for the fall of 2020 is The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
That's an exciting lineup. That's wonderful. One of the things I was really impressed about on your website is how historical information that you have on there. Like, I was able to pull up a playbill from Oklahoma in 1959 and see the cast. And I'm on the board of directors at the station. And one of the things that we don't even have a list online of the shows, much less the directors, much less the actors. And it all exists, and we're trying to figure out whose garage the boxes are all
right,
in and,
right.
and putting it all together. But this is really cool.
Well, fortunately, we have a historian, Ron McDaniel, who's been on the board, I think, since there was a board, and been in any number of shows. He's our Uncle Henry in The Wizard of Oz. And he's quote-unquote responsible for that kind of thing. And we also had a wonderful person work for us for the last couple years through a program called Experience Works. Virgie Turner helped to collate all that and get all that online.
All right. Well, we've got to wrap things up here at CU at the Show. It's been great. John, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Eric. It's, and LaDonna.
And you're doing wonderful things at Twin City Theater Company. I can't wait to see what comes next. And Paul, thank you for coming in and letting us become more informed about the Danville community theater scene.
Anytime. Glad to.
All right. Well, LaDonna, this was a great show.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. It was great.
Please join us next week. I'm going to play you out with a song from Come From Away, which was extended in Chicago. You have until September 6th if you want to see this amazing show about 9/11 and how community rallied. And if you need something good to feel about in the world when there's a lot that's not good to feel about, this is the kind of show you need to see. So get up to Chicago. Look on StubHub. You can get tickets for like $80. It's worth it.
Comes by. She pulls up and she